Great. Well, I don't know if you've ever had a really stressful time where you can't think straight, where you can't sleep and you're pacing around all the time, you can't make any decisions, it's terrible. Well, we rejoined the story today in John. It's been a while since we were there, but we're back where Pilate, the Roman governor, is having a really stressful day. Now, tonight we're continuing in John's Gospel, and John is an eyewitness to Jesus' life, and he's recorded this for us so that we can be certain of who Jesus is and how we can receive life through him. And John tells us that's his main aim for writing John's Gospel. So in chapter 20, verse 31, it says this: "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name." Now, in this section in the passage, which we're going to have read for us in a minute, we're told that it's the day of the Passover. And a Passover was an annual festival where the Jews remembered how God had saved them from Egypt. And it was a time where they had to take a lamb without any defect whatsoever. They had to kill it, and then with the blood, they had to put it on the doorposts of their houses so that when God passed through with his judgment, they would be saved. So they were celebrating no longer being under God's judgment because of the Passover lamb. And Jesus has just been arrested. I hope you remember that from last week. And like in this country, they had to go before a judge. So Jesus is sent in chapter 18, verse 13, which is a little bit before our bit, to Annas, who's the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the chief priest at the time. And Annas can't find a reason to sentence him, so we're told then he goes to Caiaphas himself. And now we come to our part of the story, verse 28, where Jesus is brought to Pilate's palace and the unfair trial continues. So as we've got some people who are going to read out the passage for us, and as they're reading it out, I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about Jesus' identity. So what do you hear in the story about Jesus, who Jesus is, and what do you hear about the Jews' response, how the Jews respond to Jesus? So let's have it. It's page 1086 in your Bibles if you do want to follow. So 1086.
Early in the morning, Jesus was taken from Caiaphas' house to the governor's palace. The Jewish authorities did not go inside the palace, for they wanted to keep themselves ritually clean in order to be able to eat the Passover meal. So Pilate went outside to them.
"What do you accuse this man of?"
"Oh, we would not have brought him to you if he had not committed a crime."
"Then you to yourselves take him and try him according to your own law."
"We are not allowed to put anyone to death."
Pilate went back into the palace and called Jesus.
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"Does this question come from you, or have others told you about me?"
"Do you think I am a Jew? It was your own people and the chief priests who handed you over to me. What have you done?"
"My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. No, my kingdom does not belong here."
"Are you a king then?"
"You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this one purpose, to speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me."
"And what is truth?"
Then Pilate went back outside to the people.
"I cannot find any reason to condemn him, but according to the custom you have, I always set free a prisoner for you during the Passover. Do you want me to set free for you the king of the Jews?"
"No, not him. We want Barabbas."
"Barabbas was a bandit." Then Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped. The soldiers made a crown out of thorny branches and put it on his head. Then they put a purple robe on him and came to him.
"Long live the king of the Jews."
And they went up and slapped him. Pilate went out once more and said to the crowd,
"Look, I will bring him out here to you, so that you see that I cannot find any reason to condemn him.
So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
Look, here is the man.
When the chief priests and the temple guards saw him, they shouted,
"Crucify him!
Crucify him!"
You take him then and crucify him. I find no reason to condemn him.
We have a law that says he ought to die because he claimed to be the Son of God.
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. He went back into the palace and asked Jesus,
"Where do you come from?"
But Jesus did not answer.
"You will not speak to me? Remember, I have the authority to set you free and also to have you crucified."
"You have authority over me only because it was given to you by God. So the man who handed me over to you is guilty of a worse sin."
When Pilate heard this, he tried to find a way to set Jesus free. But the crowd shouted back,
"If you have set him free, that means you are not the emperor's friend. Anyone who claims to be the king is a rebel against the emperor."
When Pilate heard these words, he took Jesus outside and sat down on the judge's seat in the place called the stone pavement. In Hebrew, the name is Gabbatha. It was then almost noon of the day before the Passover. Pilate said to the people,
"Here is your king.
Kill him.
Kill him.
Crucify him.
Do you want me to crucify your king?
The only king we have is the emperor."
Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified.
Great, thanks guys. So yeah, do follow along in the Bible, 1086. So we know Pilate was having a stressful day because he was doing a lot of pacing about. I don't know if you noticed that. He went in and out a lot. So look down with me. In verse 29, chapter 18, he comes out. Then down verse 33, he goes in. Verse 38, he goes out again. And then in chapter 19, verse 1, Pilate goes in, and then finally in verse 4, he comes out again. That's a lot of pacing. So why was Pilate so stressed? Well, it all begins with Jesus turning up at his doorstep in verse 28. Pilate asked the Jews, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" The Jews respond with a lie in verse 30. They claim that Jesus is a criminal. Pilate smells a rat, though. He doesn't want anything to do with it, and he suggests that they deal with it themselves. But the Jews have other intentions. Look down with me at verse 31. Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." And the Jews respond, "But we have no right to execute anyone." The Jews aren't beating around the bush here, are they? They want Jesus dead. Pilate goes back inside and he speaks to Jesus to find out his side of the story. He asks him outright, "Who is he and what has he done?" in verse 35. And Jesus' reply reveals more about his identity. I wonder if you spotted that when we were reading it. In verse 36, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And then later on, verse 37a, he also says, "You're right in saying I am a king." Jesus is saying that he is a king, but not an earthly king like Pilate and the Jews are accusing him of. He's a heavenly king. Jesus then explains why he has come. Look down at verse 38. "I came into the world to testify to the truth." Pilate asks him, "What is truth?" Pretty deep, isn't it? You think, gosh, this isn't the time for a philosophical debate. But I wonder if actually you've ever thought about that question. Or maybe someone has actually asked you, "What is truth?" It's more than being honest, isn't it? It's how we discern right from wrong. Now, many people have tried to answer this question, and one person has said this: "I don't believe that there's one truth. There are so many different people, and there are so many different ways you can look at things. I don't see how there could be just one truth." Have you ever heard that before? I certainly have. Well, earlier in chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples and to his, and obviously to his Father, and he says this: sanctify them, that is, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. And then down here in verse 37, Jesus says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus is saying that truth is God's words, and we can know truth by listening to Jesus. You might think, well, that's all very well, but Jesus died well over 2,000 years ago now, so how do we know what truth is today? Well, by reading his word, the Bible, that's how we can know truth. But Jesus says too that we need to listen to him. What does it mean to listen to him? Is it just to go, oh, that's interesting, and kind of let it go in one ear and out the other, a bit like when your parents ask you perhaps to tidy your room? Well, no, listening to God isn't like that. It means putting it into practice, doing what it says on the tin. Jesus is saying that one of the reasons he came into this world is so that we can know truth and so we can live it out in our lives. So Pilate continues pacing in verse 38, and he goes out to the Jews and tells them his verdict. He says, I find no basis for a charge against him. Pilate finds Jesus completely innocent, doesn't he? He then brings them Barabbas, and we're told that he is guilty of causing a rebellion. Pilate offers the Jews a choice of a guilty man or Jesus, an innocent king. The choice is a no-brainer, isn't it? It's like asking us if we could release the Queen from prison or Hitler. I mean, it's a no-brainer. The Queen, obviously. But the Jews' response here is shocking. Have a look down at verse 40. They shout for Barabbas to be released, the guilty for the innocent. But John doesn't tell us this just so that we can see the injustice that happens. He shows us this because he shows us that Jesus is the only one that can be the sacrifice. A life for a life. And it shows us that it's planned. He's not just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, the Queen is great, don't get me wrong, but Jesus is even greater. She does things wrong all the time, but Jesus is completely sinless. And he's the only one who can carry out this sacrifice. In chapter 19, so verse 1, Pilate has Jesus flogged. That is, they dress him in a purple robe, and the soldiers and the Jewish people mock him, and they beat him. It doesn't take much to imagine, does it? It's horrific. And in verse 4, Pilate comes out to the crowd and announces his verdict for the second time. I find no charge against him. How do the chief priests respond? Look down at verse 6. They cry, crucify, crucify. And Pilate, for a third time, declares his verdict. I find no charge against him. In verse 9, Pilate heads back inside, and the heat is turned right up now on the dial. He asks Jesus where he's come from, and Jesus refuses to respond. Pilate threatens him with his power and his authority, but Jesus responds and says in verse 11, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. As Pilate is pacing the floor, having the worst day of his life, Jesus is in complete control. He knows his Father is sovereign over all that is taking place. He's not in the wrong place at the wrong time. So Pilate knows Jesus is innocent. He therefore tries to set Jesus free in verse 12. But his fear of man is too strong. The Jews say to him, if you let this man go, then you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be king opposes Caesar. Pilate fears the earthly King Caesar rather than the heavenly King, who is bruised and beaten before him. So Pilate hands Jesus over to be crucified, and the cries are harrowing. Crucify him, crucify him. The Jews claim, in verse 15, to have no king but Caesar. They utterly reject Jesus as their heavenly king. John reminds us again how it's the time of Passover, and it's ironic how the Jews are celebrating the blood of the lamb that saves them, whilst all the while they're putting to death the ultimate lamb who will save them from their sins forever. Well, I don't know if you've ever mistaken someone's identity. You might remember last year, a news presenter called LaTonya Norton mistook Mo Farah's identity quite seriously. Let's have a take a look, just to remind us of what happened.
Hi, yeah, good morning. Hi, it was a good win today. There's quite a lot of people turned up, so really enjoyed it. It's a great city.
Wow. Now, I have to say, first of all, congratulations. Your final time, 61 minutes, which is a course record. Congratulations.
Oh, no, thank you. It's a great, the fast course. So it was nice to break the course record. Really enjoyed it. The crowd got really behind us, and there's so many people out here this morning, and just running.
Now, haven't you run before? Haven't you run before? This isn't your first time.
No, it's not my first time. I've done before half marathon, but not New Orleans. This is my first time in New Orleans.
Wow, what does it take to prepare for a marathon like this?
I haven't done a marathon yet. I'm hoping to do one in 2014. This year, I'm just going to concentrate on the track and field. But marathon's a long way. It's doubled the distance that I've done today, so I've still got to learn a lot and train more for it.
Wow, you're certainly off to a great start. And
crazy, isn't it? She completely mistakes his identity.
So you can't run, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A bit like what LaTonya did, she mistook Mo Farah's identity, but here the Jews are completely mistaking Jesus' identity. They don't see who he is. They don't recognise him as the Passover lamb, the innocent heavenly king. And instead, they reject him and they want him dead. The question, I guess, is actually who is on trial? Is it the Jews judging Jesus, or is it actually Jesus judging the Jews? Well, let's see how they fare, shall we? What about the Jewish leaders? Well, they mock Jesus and they beat him. When they sit in the dock, they're all found guilty. What about Pilate? Pilate hands over a man who he knows is innocent. When he sits in the dock, he's found guilty. It shows his humanity, particularly his heart. But probably more shocking than that is it also shows us. We constantly ignore Jesus. We constantly ignore his rule for our lives. And we don't listen or obey his word, which is truth. And every time we ignore Jesus as king, we crucify him. It reveals what our hearts are really like and what they're capable of. And I know that's not nice to hear, because you're probably sitting here and thinking, and particularly if you call yourself a Christian, you go, well, I go to church.
But we all have this same heart that rejects Jesus as king. I mean, it might be subtle, like putting comfort and convenience over Jesus. I mean, I wonder if you've ever thought, I'm not going to tell my friends I went to church this week because it's It's easier not to say anything, and they won't ask me difficult questions. I know that I've done that when work colleagues have asked me what I did at the weekend. It's easier sometimes just to say nothing. Or it might happen when our reputation's on the line and we abandon Jesus when we fear what our friends might think of us. Just like the Jews and Pilate, we sit in the dock guilty. All of our hearts exposed for what we really are, sinful. We desperately need a rescue, don't we? We need rescuing from our sinful hearts. We can't do anything on our own. But thankfully, someone has rescued us. Just like Jesus took the place of guilty Barabbas, so he takes the place of us. Jesus swaps his life for yours and mine, and as a result, he gives us innocence. Only one without sin can take sin. Jesus wasn't just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus knew this was coming. It was his hour, and it was necessary because we need a rescuer. So how should we respond? Well, I urge you not to mistake Jesus' identity. Jesus is king. Only he was the one who could sacrifice himself for us. Do we recognise that we too reject Jesus, just like the Jews? Will we accept that Jesus had to die for you and for me, for our hearts that naturally reject him? Even today, even now, our hearts that don't want to know him or even to listen to him. We can thank him, though, that his death covers all our sins, past, present, and the ones that we will do in the future. Thank him for what it cost him to swap his life for ours. Let's pray.